יהיו לרצוני לרפי בהגיון לבי לפניך אדוני צורי וגואלי.
May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all and welcome to our open forums. I am your host, Ariel Bar Tzadok. You find me online at koshertorah.com. This is our ongoing series and the teachings of the classical Kabbalah, based on an old 1500s book by a Rabbi Menachem out of the old ancient Jewish community in Egypt, which, needless to say, does not exist anymore. But we are not going to get into politics about that. Anyway, this time date us is our... Oh, I was about to say it was the first class of our new year, but no, it's not. We did that last week, so I'm behind in the scenes here. For those of you who join me before we go on mic, you know that I always begin the class with... I always take a little bit of medicine. You know, medicine to help wet the whistle, clear the throat, open the gullet, and all the rest. Good old Tennessee white lightning. And if you come down here, you come onto my table, you know that I always put a little bit of l'chaim, as we call it in Hebrew, before you. You don't drink, you don't stay. That's pretty much the rule here. And it's just the way we do things here. So obviously our door is open, and we always welcome. Somebody's saying here they always have some in the kitchen closet. That's exactly where we keep it. Whiskey? White lightning? Whiskey? My goodness. We got to educate you non-Southern folk about that. Jet fuel, that's more like it. I think mine is at least 100 proof. So, no, just a little bit. Is it like Tennessee Arak? You bet. And a little bit more stronger. Moonshine. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Now, you might think that we are being distracted from the nature and point of what we're teaching here tonight, but not at all. Not a bit. Let me tell you. For those of you who are with me live, you know that when you receive an invitation to the course, the class actually, I always give you the title. Well, tonight, continuing in our class, we're talking about the Ten Sefirot, the divine emanations of God. I have always endeavored to teach the Sefirot, not in the theoretical way, because I consider the theoretical schools, the intellectual schools, and I know I get in trouble when I say things like this, but I don't consider them really to be great value. It's intellectual entertainment, but not really much anymore, so I really don't bother with them. I've always endeavored to teach what we call the prophetic system, how the Sefirot are experienced internally, experientially, psychologically. Well, not tonight. Tonight I'm going to take you on a walk on the wild side. I'm going to introduce you to the school of Kabbalistic magic. I'm going to teach you to actual energy beyond the realm of psychology and theory. And I'm going to open up to you doors which even I very, very rarely will ever talk about in public, and this is going to be one of those few times. As I've mentioned before we began, we are now in the night before the Day of Atonement, where we're going to have the fast. And as such, this is a very important time in history. Somebody here in the text is saying, what's the point of teaching if there's no application? Well, I hope you're talking about the theory, because what I'm going to teach you tonight is going to have a very powerful application. Very powerful indeed. Matter of fact, we're going to be mentioning about one man who actually discovered this application and used it and was summarily arrested and imprisoned by the United States government, where he rotted in that jail until the day he died, with all of his teachings literally burned officially by the government.
So, is this the Ohel Moed class? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But we're going to learn it unlike you've ever learned it before. The time requires that we teach certain things that need to be made clear. So we're going to talk about the Sefirot, which we've talked about in many ways before, called Chesed and Gevura. They are called the fourth and the fifth lights of divine emanation. And up until now, we've discussed the realms which we call the mind, Keter Chokhmah Bina. And I've discussed them psychologically because their actual reality are in such a removed and divorced from us dimensional reality that there is no way for us to have any experience of them other than through the realms and domains of the mind. But from the seven lower, corresponding to what we call creation, these can be experienced, and indeed they are. So I'm going to read our text, comment, and expand. Let's begin. The fourth light called Chesed. Min ha'or ha'shlishi, gimel, haba mekoach ha'ein sof, nitgele v'nitpashet or ha'revi'i. From the third light, gimel, third letter, we say comes from the Ein Sof, we have revealed and am expanding this fourth light. Just a quick note. When we're talking about God's light, I've described it in previous classes as consciousness, as sentience. It's more than that. It is an actual energy force of the same type of nature that we experience in our space-time continuum as the four known forces, of course, of electromagnetism, gravity, weak and strong nuclear forces. These are real. They're actual forces. Well, these Sefirot are actual forces too. Some of them are more refined, sublime, that we cannot sense them, but that does not make them any less present. Like modern science has discovered the existence of what they call dark matter and dark energy. They don't know what it is. That's why they call it dark, but they know it makes up the majority of the known universe, even though it's unknown to them. So, these are real forces. We interact with these real forces, and they're a way to cultivate these forces, just as we can cultivate and use the forces of gravity, electromagnetism, weak, strong nuclear forces. That's what science is. The knowledge of these other forces, which we call here sephirotic, were revealed and known and understood to ancient and modern practitioners. And the usages of these forces have come down to us under a rather, in my opinion, misguided name called magic. Of course, there's no such thing as magic. All there is the use of natural forces. But one man's knowledge of natural forces is another man's magic if the other one does not know of the existence of how these things are. Let's move on. This fourth force is called Gedulah, greatness, otherwise known as Chesed. And that's exactly what it says. It says, this is the attribute of Avraham Avinu. Because this is the attribute that Abraham embraced throughout his life, that he would do mercy with all of the public, and therefore it's called on his name. And it quotes the verse in Micah chapter 7, where it says that he gives truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham. Let's apply this right now. Chesed is an outgoing force. We know that Chesed is what we call the light
of the first day of creation.
And actually we're going to get into this as we read on.
This light of the first day of creation, we are taught, is concealed for the righteous in the world to come. Now that's a very nice moralistic teaching. What the heck is light? It's energy. Energy is not only life, sentience, consciousness, it is will. It is a creative force of actual expansive power. Chesed is not just an idea or a concept or a philosophy. It is an actual force of expansive, life-giving energy. The resurrection of the dead, which is the realignment of the genetic DNA and infusing it with the original spark of this chesed, light of the first day, is what we call, again, the resurrection of the dead. This is the force. This is the life force. It is revealed to us in numerous ways and forms, which we will, in a mundane way, come to know as chi, nefesh, or life force energy. But that force, which we know, call it a force with a lowercase f. Chesed is its source with an uppercase f to distinguish it. This is the more higher, refined force, which is the underlying power. If there was a big bang, well, then the chesed was what sparked it off. It is the original force, the original power, which emanates from the higher dimensions called mind. This force is so refined, so raw in power, that it cannot be solidified in this physical world other than through the vessel, which of course, again, we said is chi, nefesh, or another more modern term, orgone, the life force energy. This force is responsible for all life. When one bonds with God in such a way to receive what we call Ruach HaKodesh, which is a spirit which overwhelms the conscious mind and enables the physical body to channel almost a supernatural power, enabling it to do overwhelming things. That is this power acting through the chi of the body. That's what this energy is. Abraham Avinu, Abraham, patriarch, lived by this. Look at his life as an example. He was a powerful man. He was a warrior. He was an enlightened man. He was a very wealthy man. And he worked to harness and control this power. So powerful with it was he, that it was actually able to change the natural course of what might have been a genetic flaw in either him or his wife, and enabled barren Sarah to give birth to life, Isaac. Continuing. Nikrat b'Torah b'inyan shemot El. This name is called El, Aleph Lamed. There is a group of Malachim called the Elim. Abu Lamonai b'nei Elim, for those of you who know what I'm referring to. The Elim are the ones
who are entrusted with this energy and who channel it down to lower groups of entities. Energy is not some nebulous blank force. It is always congealed in a race of beings. We on Earth receive and channel our energy. Other races in other places channel theirs. So the Elim receive and pass it on to other races as we ourselves receive. This is the way of nature. And even though we speak of contact with our Magids, our spiritual guides, and we reflect them as being our higher selves, other entities out there, well, let me take a step back. We still think of ourselves as isolated individual human beings, but we're not. We are part of a collective hive mind. And even though we see each other in physical separate flesh, in the realm of that which we call soul, it is not so. So you have hive mind races of beings, El or Elim, who vibrate, connect, communicate to the Bene Elim or the Bene Elohim, who are sometimes called the Ishim, who communicate with us. I just explained to you the nature of the channel. And there are appropriate ways and methods and techniques wherein which these communications are established. Such communications, it is prohibited to talk about or to teach publicly, which is why this is a level that you will not find me teaching publicly in koshertorah.com. For any of my private students who, those above, issue an invitation, then they will receive that invitation and do whatever is necessary to accept it and move along as is necessary. So, we refer to this as Hashem El Olam. God is the El. El is also in the word for God, generic, of the world. Because this energy is the foundation of this space-time continuum. The Arizal says very properly that Hesed is a concealed energy, simply because in its raw form, it cannot be experienced in this space-time continuum. Therefore, it is the source of that which we call heaven, that parallel universe, that parallel membrane which gave rise to this world. It's called, therefore, the right side. That's just symbolic metaphors. And therefore, this is the side of Abraham, etc. This midah, this attribute, is also called the kav zechut, the benefit of the doubt, as we usually translate that, the spoon of measure. And this is what it says is referenced in the Gemara. Now hear this well. In the tractate Mo'ed Katan 28a, it states, Lav b'sechuta talia milta, ela b'mazala talia milta. It says here, merit. We do not have a merit. La b'zchuta talia milta. A thing is not depending on merit, it depends on its mazal. Many refer to your mazal as your astrological influence. Well, the cosmic forces that interact through the mechanical operations and influences of overlapping fields in space are implemented by higher intelligences which generate and therefore project these energies. When we wish to know the way of things in the future, we can look mechanically at the operations of the universe and see from one what is 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Now, of course, there is that which we call the random element. And therefore, using the power in place of the stars to predict definitive accuracies will not work. Because reality is quantum in nature. The mechanical nature of the stars and its cosmic fields are quantum, meaning that they have multiple forms of potential manifestation. Not an infinite number, but a finite, but yet numerous potential. And which comes and which doesn't depends on many things. So understand then that as we pass through fields and consciousness flows in this or that direction, we are subject to the higher influences. Period. And he states here that the attribute of Keter actually is the source of all the radiance, which therefore drips down. The word mazal actually means, linzol means actually to like drip down. Drip, 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 trickle down energy, if you will. All right? Trickles down from the Keter and comes down to us. And he quotes here a verse from the Song of Songs, which he says is a reference to it, calling the Keter the Loven Ha'Elyon, the supernal whiteness. This is the pure expansive energy called here Rachamim, right? Not like any of the other attributes. Keter is called the upper mercy, Hesed is called the lower mercy, because they're both function again in the same expansive, life-giving format, structure. This is what drips down to us as life. It was from this energy that actually, as it dripped down through the dimensional planes, congealed to form what we today call the manna in the generation of the wilderness. Is this subject to conscious or mind influence? Perhaps. And I say that because to think you can go up and grab it, no. But can you open yourself up to receive it? Yes. But its raw state is so refined that we say that it's reserved for the righteous in the world to come. Because in that raw state, it's too much for the body to handle. This is the, well, never mind, it's not to be mentioned. But al titma, al elu akinuiim bekinui akinuiim ki kulam kabbalah mitit. He says here, don't be surprised by all of these symbolic names and the symbols within the symbols. He says, this is all a proper and true reception. And he quotes here the famous commentary to the Torah by Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, or Ramban, that all of the Torah is one long name of God. Now, what that means cannot be understood so simplistically. Any and all parts of the Torah can be used and formulated to form all kinds of chants or meditative mantras and the like. They're all spokes in a singular wheel which can emanate to the center. The question, of course, is, well, which spoke should I take to get to the center? And the answer, of course, is that one which is right for you. Well, gee, I don't know which one that is. Yes, you do. You might have heard an old Talmudic teaching that there are 70 faces to the Torah, meaning 70 interpretations. 70, of course, is a symbolic number. There are those who have expanded it out to say there are 600,000 interpretations of the Torah, according to the symbolic number of the souls who left Egypt with Moses. What this means is that every individual comes to the Torah from the point of view of their own unique individual personality. Some people are emotionally based. Others are intellectually based. Others are more psychically based. A psychic personality and an intellectual personality and an emotional personality and a mundane physical personality. Very different types of people. They have different interests, different likes, different dislikes, different potentials and capabilities and the like. Which one is higher, which one is lower, which one is better, which one is worse is irrelevant. It would like argue which color of the rainbow is better or worse
higher or lower, or the like. Doesn't matter. You are who and what you are, and that is your path. I endeavor to embrace that here at Kosher Torah, and to bring you other teachers who represent other spokes on the wheel to help drive this point home to you. That there are those who can embrace this path, which I teach, and then there are those who cannot. And that's just the truth of it. So, when we say that the entire Torah is God's name, it means that there are those who approach it from one way, and there are those who can approach it from another. It is quantum in nature. And as we say, Elu ve'elu, divrei Elohim hayim, these and these are the ways of the living God. And this is why we are so emphatic. When we teach anything in Judaism, we refer to it as a de'a, which in Hebrew means an opinion. Everything is an opinion. Ever since the last prophets spoke in the days, the conclusion of the Babylonian exile, God has not spoken to us. All we have are the views of individual peoples. And that is all. So everything is an opinion. You're going to embrace that opinion which you feel closer to. And the other person's going to embrace that which is right for them. And as long as we are within the context of the proper observance of the commandments for those, with each within their context, that's all that matters. What's in your head? Not even God cares. Moving right along. As he says here, Nahazor l'inyan. Let's get back to the matter here. This kav zechut, this measure of merit, right? Benefit of the doubt. He says, this is a melitza tova kol ha'olam. This is a good way, good advice, if you will, for the entire world. And again, it makes a reference to a verse about Abraham, that when Abraham approached God to debate, argue, if you will, over Sodom, he says, righteous you will destroy with the wicked. And indeed, the fact that Abraham, unlike his grandson Jacob, was the first to wrestle with God. Jacob wrestled in a more physical way, Abraham in a more prayerful way, or dialogue way. But the nature of their debate was similar. They refused to accept fate, and they endeavored to challenge it. Neither could have acted if this energy was not within them at the moment to enable them to do it, to rise to the cause. This attribute is also called the upper waters. It is called the head of the supernal building. And based upon this, the Psalm 89 said, quoting it says there, Amarti Olam Hesed Yibane, that God says that the world is built upon this energy. Now, we misinterpret mercy to think niceness, sweetie, kindness, turning the other cheek, lovey-lovey. Wrong. That is not what chesed is. That's why its original name is Gidolah, greatness. It's raw power. The pure, unrefined, unsheathed power of life force energy. Consider it, if you will, like a lightning bolt compared to the light that comes out of your electric socket. You could survive sticking your finger into an electric socket. You're not going to necessarily survive getting struck by lightning. Big difference between the two. So, moving right along. It states here that this place is always referred to in the Torah. This power is called the right. You mean small right and left are symbolic terms, one being more expansive and one being more the opposite of expansive, restrictive, restricting. External, internal. In psychology, we refer to this as extroverted and introverted. Outgoing, ingoing energy. I would refer to it as positive and negative. Positive and negative really doesn't just describe it properly. He quotes here the verses from Psalm 118, Yamin Hashem Romimam, Yamin Hashem Osir Chayil. God's, the rightness of God, I mean the right side, is raised up. The right of God does power. Chayil. Now Chayil, power, you would assume to be an attribute related to the side of severity. But no, it's the expansiveness. No activity of expansiveness is accomplished without this force. This is the force, like I said, which activates and emanates and transforms. It brings life. There was a scientist, a psychiatrist, psychologist, contemporary and colleague of none less than Sigmund Freud, and I refer to Wilhelm Reich. Wilhelm Reich is a very interesting fellow, for those of you who ever read his surviving material. He recognized that there was this power within. He understood it as sexual power and how it needed to be released and balanced. He recognized this energy. It took him his whole life to really get to the point of it. He called it orgone. He was actually able to recognize its force in nature. And he was able to create non-electronic type machines that could generate and project this type of energy to revive life force energies. He was able to take his orgone machines into places where in which there was no rain. And by just pointing it at the sky in the middle of a drought, making it rain. If I'm not mistaken, he accomplished this on two different occasions, once in the state of Maine, once in the state of Arizona. And yet, he began to speak of this power, and he began to speak of other things. He says that he had the inside track on the UFO alien connection and their relationship to this and other energies. And he got stranger and stranger and more powerful in this energy, and ultimately, the United States government came in and literally took away all of his things, burned his books, threw him in jail, where he rotted and died. And much of his material, as I said, was censored, squashed by the United States government. If you ever want a conspiracy theory to investigate, look into Dr. Reich's writings as the man who knew too much. He understood that this power and what it was. So, this is what we must understand. This is an actual, real power. It is not symbolic. It is actual. And it can be harnessed. It can be used. People like the prophets, the sages of the Talmud, many of the famous Kabbalists, had this power and were able to sheathe it, project it, and use it. But Chesed, this outgoing expansive energy, has its opposite. Because to everything there is its equal and opposite in the universe. That is how it is created. That opposite we call Gevurah. We're going to introduce it now and call it severity. But understand this, and understand this well. If Chesed is the force of life, Gevura is the force of death. Now, don't think of death as bad, evil, punishment, eternal hell and damnation, or anything of the kind. What is death? It is merely a transformation. You have energy that can flow one way. Call it counterclockwise. That is the order of the universe. Or it can reverse to go clockwise. You can have things which expand out. You can have things which contract within. All of life is a combination of both, and it's the balance of the two which lead to proper harmony. And everything in life, like the old seesaw that we used to play in the children's playground, is in a constant state of balancing from right to left and to left and to right. Again, these are the symbolic references. Like it says in Kohelet Ecclesiastes, there is a time and a place for all things under heaven. That's why we have the fluctuations in culture, in societies, in art and the sciences, in psychology, inside our own minds, inside our own lives. Why we have good days, why we have bad days. Because each of us is in a unique relationship to the interaction with the cosmic flows around us. And we each respond differently with them. That is why whenever we interact with the higher realms, it is said that you must know the name of the, in quote, angels of the hour, of the time, that are the guardians of the gates at the moment that you wish to ascend those gates. Now, this type of talk is what I teach in my Jewish magic traditions class, specifically in the third semester, when we go and mention the angels of the names. But that's for that class, for those students who are there. For you here, just know, this is the mechanics of how this stuff works. In meditation, we try to cultivate a sensitivity to these things. That's all well and good, because it'll at least put you in touch, and that's necessary. But then what? It is that but then what that is prohibited to be teaching publicly. Because the Mishnah itself, in the second chapter of Tractate Hagigah, teaches that this type of material can only be taught one-on-one, and then only to those who have an understanding of what it is by themselves. That's the law. I didn't make it up, but I am subject to it. And so are you. So this emanating from the fourth, now comes the fifth power from the Ein Sof, we say, which is revealed and expands forth, and we call this, as I said here, Gevurah. Alright? It is called the Great Fire. It is called the attribute of severe justice, and it's called the attribute of fear. Why? What does this mean? Because as the life force expands out, the death force contracts in. It doesn't mean that it necessarily brings death, but it's a contraction. All energy has to be contracted. I'll give you a great example. Right now, I am speaking to you from my office, and my desk is lit up by light bulbs. The spark of electricity goes through the wires, but the nature of that light is concealed, harnessed, limited, refined within the context of the bulb itself. Whether it's a gas bulb, fluorescent bulb, whatever kind of bulb it is, it's necessary that there be the vessel. This is the secret of what we call body and soul. It's the nature of the limitation, the focus, the narrowing in. It is what makes it strong. The force that makes you strong. Hear and know what that means. Without Gevurah, there is no strength. Now, the secret of body, the secret of form. Calls it here Din Kasheh, the great fire, fear, because this is the solidification of form and structure, which enables the Hesed flow to be balanced and harnessed, and eventually materializes as Tiferet, as libido, and that's the path, but moving right along. We say that this is called the left side. Listen, interesting here. It says, Lishmur makom ha-peratzashi peratz adam ha-rishon. This energy is here to guard the place that was violated by Adam, which brought death to him and the entire world. You see, originally, when this light came forth, its expansive abilities, when Adam Eve ate symbolically of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge.
The expansive form inverted, and instead of expanding out, was shrinking within.
Again, to everything there's a time and a purpose under heaven.
This energy, therefore, came in to seal the breach.
And you could say, seal the breach? Well, isn't that what this energy is? This energy is the constrictive force.
No, it's not.
It's that which creates the balance. That's what you must understand.
Because any energy which expands out must have its other opposite force contracting it in, limiting it, harnessing it. This balancing act between forces, between invoking angels and the like, is fundamentally paramount for anyone who is going to control these energies. This starts by having the balance internally, psychologically within the mind, which is why I always focus in Kosher Torah about psychological balance, psychology, spirituality, the prophetic path, all the same. The importance of balance and alignment. Because if this balance and alignment is accomplished, then at least the person is in a position wherein which, if those higher forces would ever so desire, they have a vessel, a vehicle, you, with whom they can communicate, either through dreams, person, or the like. This is the secret of the breach, the sealing of the breach. And it says here that this is the source of the power of Samakel. Samakel is called the primordial serpent.
Samakel.
The devil. Right? The evil inclination, the angel of death, the Satan, who is called the prince of Esau. He's also called the head of the accusers. He's also called Laban the Aramean. Right? He is the one, Amarbe et Brihot. Shuhum et Sandadin. Alright?
What does all this mean? Know and understand. One of God's highest entities is Samakel.
For those who know the secret of names, you'll notice that he is an El. We already spoke about the Els. And Samech Mem in itself has all kinds of interesting teachings about it. Has all kinds of different interesting things. It's also one of God's holy names for those who know the 72 triads. This primordial serpent, as we learn from the book of Job, is God's faithful servant. Unlike in the Christian tradition, which is based upon what they call intertestamental literature, which was influenced by Greek or Roman and early Babylonian and Persian teachings of there being a duality in the world of good versus evil, duking it out. No, there is no duking it out. Good and evil, Hesed and Gevurah, are controlled by a higher force. They are the two hands controlled by the same mind. There is no God and Satan duking it out for your souls. I challenge anybody to show me where in the Jewish scriptures of the Torah, prophets, and writings where there's ever any mention, however, you know, removed, however anything, to what we call an eternal hell or eternal damnation. It just doesn't exist. It's not there. The Jewish understanding of these things is radically different as it's found in later Christendom. And in that respect, you must understand how these things are understood differently from their source. Samakel is God's servant. He does what heaven teaches him to do. And his job is to look after this physical domain. That's why he is considered the head of what's called Esav. Esav, again, is a symbolic reference to the physical forces of this world. That's his job. And as such, he does his job with great faithfulness. We call that the evil inclination because it brings us under the influence of natural inclinations. If we had no natural inclinations, no man and woman would ever sexually procreate. If we had no natural inclinations, no one would eat. So therefore, these things are very, very important. Indeed, you have rabbis like Yosef Chaim, the great Ben Ishai Baghdad, who refers to this as the tzad hatov shev yitzer hara, the good side in the evil inclination. We must understand these things outside of their mythology. We are here in this physical plane, in this body right now, in a handicapped and retarded form, because the balances of the energies are out of whack. And our entire purpose, the purpose of the Torah and the commandments, is to align these things. The alignments come in various grades, but only those who venture to interact with the higher realms and domains can ever actually serve as the conduit of balance between the worlds. The most famous of these conduits, and I've taught this in some of our Legends of the Talmud class, was King Solomon. And it's echoed through the ages in both Jewish and Christian sources how King Solomon was what's called a master of magic, a master of the forces. And even to this day, Solomonic magic is considered the foundation of Western occultism. This is not an endorsement of such practices, but an explanation of where they come from. Moving right along, the purpose and job of the Satan isn't to end you up in hell, but to literally ground you here. And we have this illusion and fantasy to think that heaven and hell, physical, spiritual, are the same as good and evil, and that there's a dichotomy and they have to be split. Physical, bad, get rid of. Spiritual, good, keep, is wrong, and it is not the way of Torah. In our Torah way, the physical and the spiritual are both good, and both can be bad. They are both as all things are. So all this physical world and everything in it is good, if we embrace it and make it good. The choice is in our hands, as always. This attribute is called by the name Elohim. El in Hesed, Elohim in Gevura. And it's the Bnei Elohim who are the entities who came down to earth, who are the governors of this world, who form the body of government of entities whose job it is to watch over this planet. Daniel 4:14. Okay? It's exactly what it says here. They call it the 70 princes, and they are what's called the 70 of the higher forms, the higher, what's called here, the Sanhedrin above. And he says here, Makom, Yikivushat tachad midat hachesed shehu yamin. But nonetheless, this power is subservient to the attribute of Hesed. Because the attribute of Hesed isn't just like some big nebulous field, and this is a lower field. No. There are entities at each and every level, and there is a hierarchy, an order, pecking order, if you will, of how this is done. The general gives the order to the colonel, who gives the order to the major, who gives the order to the captain, who gives the order to the lieutenant, who passes it on to the troops. That's just the way it is. Okay? So, this is the meaning here. It says, I'm going to try to sum it up because I see we're a little short on time here. But this is also very interesting teaching here. He says, this is the secret of when it says that Elohim tested Abraham. Again, if you will remember the famous binding of Isaac, which those of you should know is the Torah reading for the day of Yom Kippur. That this attribute here called Elohim, all right, was the one that was now tested correlating to the attribute of Hesed, of Abraham. And if Abraham did not go to offer Isaac and take into his hand the fire and the sacrificial knife, right, this world would not have been able to survive. because it says here, quoting Sefer Yetzirah, fire comes forth from water. What on earth are we talking about? Here's the secret. Personality attributes. There are those that are expansive and extroverted, and there are those which are restrictive and introverted. Okay. Introverted, extroverted, expansive, restrictive. Each must be integrated within the whole. In other words, if you wish to be a composite individual, you have to embrace all the spokes of the wheel to become whole. It's not enough that you just find your one way. You have to know all the other ways as well. There is a curious and interesting teaching in the Talmud which speaks about four great sages who endeavored to ascend into the spiritual domains for reasons not described. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Elisha Ben Abuya, and Rabbi Akiva. One looked around and died. One looked around and went crazy. One looked around and says became an apostate. And only Rabbi Akiva entered and exited in peace. The Arizal, the later theoretical Kabbalah, gives a very eloquent and appropriate psychological explanation, referring to four different modes and ways of, we can call it consciousness, said that each of these four was a representative of one of them individually. And because they each individually and separately endeavored as a quaternity of a foursome to ascend, they did not succeed. But if each one individually internalized all four, then each individual would have succeeded. Abraham, the outgoing force, had to embrace his opposite in order to be complete. Isaac, the restrictive force, had to embrace his opposite in order to be complete. And the completion is everything. So personality trials are a prerequisite for angelic invocations. They are the ones who bring to you troubles and turmoils in your life with the specific intent to hone you, refine you, purify you like the great fire. That's why you go through what you go through. It's not to punish you because you're bad. It's not to spank you. It's not because this and that. It's training. For those who want to join a special forces operation, Navy SEALs, Israeli Sayeret Matkal, whatever, you get your, you'll forgive my unrabbinic term, you get your asses kicked. Because if you can't, you're just not good enough. Good, you can put on a uniform, but you're not going to put on that red or green beret because you're not good enough. You haven't gone through the training. This is the training. This is what makes a true Merkava, a true master, a true sorcerer, wizard, Kabbalist, holy man, call it whatever you want. Talk is cheap. I'm explaining to you the fundamentals of what we go through and why. If we're about to go through a hard time in life, the world, the end of days, it's because heaven is creating a mercy collectively for all souls to give each and every one an opportunity to go through the trials and tribulations to transcend and to purify, so that each one will come out the other end as a conduit and an agent, symbolically referred to in the book of Zechariah as the sons of David. Even male, female, no difference there. This attribute is also called the great teruah, blowing of the shofar. As it says, Allah Elohim betruah, Adonai bekol shofar. Line that we read on Rosh Hashanah from Psalm 47. Elohim rises up in the sound of the teruah, the blast. Hashem. Notice it's a different name for God. In the voice of the shofar. It says, this is the rachamim. This is the bounce. Because the mind thought, projects itself
through speech, just like I'm doing right now. I think and I speak. But the shofar is pure projected sound for the psychic content of the mind. The mind power expands, the shofar limits, the two bonds them together, and they ripple through space and time and consciousness. And the nature of the blowing then, it says here, that we have the order that when we blow the shofar, we have the long, pure blast before and after. And we have the middle blasts, which are either the 3 or the 9, whichever. But it's the nature of the sandwiching. It's like a breathing. In and out. Energy moving back and forth. And this is what you must always understand. Abraham on the right, Isaac on the left, Jacob balancing. All right? This is how it is. This is the secret. He quotes here the verse from Leviticus 26. God says, I will remember the covenant with Jacob, the covenant with Isaac, the covenant with Abraham. This is the way the energy flows and balances. It is the secret of the shofar. And those who understand how to properly balance this energy bring merit in judgment. At this time, in these days, right before Yom Kippur, this is extremely vital information. If you truly wish to stand before heaven and be exonerated, whatever that means, you must be honest, balanced, harmony, and peace. Don't tell me what's in your thoughts. I don't care. Don't tell me about your words. I don't care. I'm not even interested in your deeds. I want to know what's in your dreams. In your dreams, are you balanced? In your dreams, can you fight, debate, argue, and win? If so, then maybe you are balancing these things. Because remember, Hesed and Gevura both are unconscious energy fundamentals. Reich, Wilhelm Reich, discovered that for the Oregon expansive energy, there was something which he called DOR, destructive Oregon radiation, death energy. This is the other side of this. He claims that the UFOs and the aliens live off this Oregon energy, and they suck out life energy, and they use DOR energy as a weapon, and that they can project it, and it can literally infect the minds of people, causing their minds to wither, weaken, and be enslaved. That this is an actual technology of mind control and weakness. We've seen it operational in history since the day of Adam ate of the tree. To recognize it and recognize its influence is the first step in overcoming it. When Reich started to talk about this, that's when the government shut him down tight. And for good reason. He was revealing too much. Now, Professor Dr. Reich was Jewish. I don't think he had any kind of a connection to his Jewish sources. But, one way or another, he was shut down. Understand and know what we are talking about. Because this destructive Oregon radiation, we know in very real material forms today, nuclear radiation is a clear expression of it. Also, whenever you have anything which is channeled or energized by death, fossil fuels which move our world is DOR energy, which is why ever since we've used fossil fuels, we're destroying our world. We're destroying our minds. We are moving further and further away from the natural world. So therefore, ask yourself, if there were to be a cessation of fossil fuels, would it not be a blessing from God?
If there was going to be a total all-out war in the Middle East and we lost all the oil, would it therefore not be a blessing?
Think about it.
Moving right along. These two attributes called Gedulah and Gevurah are called the arms of the world. Alright? Everything is bound up in them. The author quotes here again, Ra'ite et Hashem yoshev al kiso, v'kol tzeva ha-shamayim omed elav me'yamino u'smolo. Quoting here at 1 Kings chapter 22, the prophet states, that I saw God sitting upon his throne with the forces of heaven to his right and left. Don't think this is symbolic. There are way too many who think that angels are just theoretical or non-physical. We've already learned in this series that that's not true. There was a great debate at one time if even God himself had actual form. Total contradiction to what Rambam wrote. There are many who believed it for the longest time. And maybe there's a secret to it that we cannot discuss. But when you want to talk about real energy forces, these are them. As I said, there is only so much that I'm allowed to talk about. There are actual rituals, invocations of how to contact the entities or the channels for these powers. They are called the princes. They are called holy ones. Daniel calls them the watchers. They're also often referred to as the dragon princes. There's a reason for that, which we don't have to get into right now. We call them the Tali. And when you communicate with them, you can first communicate with them in the form of dreams or visions. First they'll be unconscious, and then as time goes by they'll become very conscious. And maybe if you're refined enough, they can actually come and be physical in form before you. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, the great Ben Ishai Baghdad, was known to have such experiences with one of us who joined them. And of course I speak of Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet. So again, just to summarize, you have the right, which is called merit, and the left, which is called obligation. All right, Sechut and Chovah, obligation. These are the two attributes which we call right and left, expansive and restrictive, going out, coming in. These are the two arms which balance everything. And now hear this in conclusion. Keshe Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, afilu asmol na'asit yamin. When Israel does the will of the Father in heaven, then even the left becomes the right. This is the secret of Yiminecha Hashem Nida'are Bekoach Yiminecha Hashem Tir'atz Oyev. Quoting from the famous Song of Moses, Exodus chapter 16, your right Hashem is great in power, your right overcomes the enemy. Because it says here, quoting here the Midrash Tehillim, that the right of Hashem was the one that's, you know, put down the Egyptians, and at the same time is good for Israel. Alright? This means that the left became the right. But yet when Israel does opposite to the will of heaven, then even the right becomes the left. This is the secret that Hashem turns his back towards us. Let me explain this. Right and left are energies. When we properly calibrate ourselves psychologically and in our lives through behavior, we become lightning rods, conduits for these energy fields. For those who properly keep things in balance, then the left becomes subservient to the right, and like the two halves of a whole, merge into the singularity which then flows to the individual. This is the secret here. This is what it says, that the left becomes the right. So the same energy that went forth, which was negative to the Egyptians because of how they interacted with it, was good for the
Israelites because it was the way they interacted with it. We each have the opportunity to become this conduit for the channeling and focus of projected energy. At this time of the High Holidays, with the Day of Atonement upon us, and for those listening to this recording after the Day of Atonement, doesn't matter, because simply this is something which is ongoing. We seek to be balanced in behavior, in emotions and psychology, through all the meditative techniques that I teach here at Kosher Torah. And the purpose and the influence is not just psychological, but psychic, to project actual energy forces, to interact with other entities, and they to be our conduits to influence from a distance the minds and the behaviors of others. This is a true Star Wars, a true occult wars, a true psychic war. Every government on the face of the earth that knows anything about anything is very heavily involved, each doing their own. And that's just the reality of things. If you wish to call that a cult, magic, call it whatever you want. These were the things that were known in ancient days to Solomon, son of David. These are the things that are passed down to the spiritual sons of David, male and female, to this very day. And as the book of Zechariah says, the end of days, the sons of David, the house of David actually, will fight for Jerusalem, physical and spiritual. It's a representative metaphor. And they will fight, like it says, with the angel of the Lord going before them. The angel of the Lord is this entity, the elves. Their Lord is Metatron, who is also a collective. And we join that collective. We fight with the power of angelic supernatural forces to override any and all military technologies, the likes of which definitely involve the use of psychic warfare. That's just the way it is. I hope you can handle it. That note, I'm going to conclude. I've shared with you many things, many a secret. You're not going to hear me be so revelatory many time in the end, in the future. Someone's asking me if I can end with my shofar. Well, being that the time of this live class is at night, this is not the appropriate time that we blow the shofar, so sorry, I can't. Besides, it's in my other room, so I'm not going to go and do that right now. But I want to thank you all for joining me. I want to thank you all for being here with us during the year. And of course, you know that I always encourage your financial support. I solicit it so that we can keep our organization going and flowing. And I've always been asked, how come I don't use my powers to generate and create money? Well, because I was always taught that that has to come from you. Symbiotic relationship. Yin and yang, right and left. You and me. We're a partnership in this. So I give, you give, we all work together. Thank you all for being with me this year. I pray, God, that we will be together for another year to come. May God bless us all with all good things. Shana Tova, as we say, good new year. Blessings, and most of all, peace of mind, peace of body, and I say to you sincerely, pray for the peace of our world, because now is the most auspicious and important time to do so. I'm your host, Ariel Bar Tzedok. You find me online at koshertorah.com. Thank you all for joining me. Good night. Shalom.